Ever wondered how they put a price tag on businesses that aren't on the stock market? You know, those privately held companies.
Yeah, it's definitely not as simple as just looking up a stock price.
Not at all. So today we're going to really dig deep into how private companies are valued.
Which is super important, by the way, especially if you're running a small or mid-sized business.
Absolutely. So why don't we kick things off by explaining, why this whole valuation thing is so crucial?
Sure. So think of it this way. Valuation is kind of like the foundation for a ton of major business decisions, like how much money you can raise, or if you want to sell your company, what kind of price tag you can put on it.
Right, it's like figuring out what your business is actually worth.
Exactly. And even if you're not thinking about selling anytime soon, just understanding how valuation works can give you a much better grasp of your company's like financial health and its potential for growth.
Gotcha. So, where do we even begin with this? I mean, there's no stock price to go off of.
Right. It's a different ballgame with private companies. But there are a few tried and true methods that the pros use. One of the most common is what we call comps, short for comparable company analysis.
Okay, so comps. What's that all about?
Basically, it's like comparing apples to apples. You try to find publicly traded companies that are similar to the private company you're trying to value.
So you're saying if I own a bakery, I should look at how big publicly traded bakery chains are doing.
Exactly. You look at their financials, stuff like their EV/EBITDA ratio. That gives you an idea of what kind of multiples investors are willing to pay for those public companies, and you can use that as a starting point.
Makes sense. But I imagine it's not quite that straightforward, right?
You're right. There's a little something called a liquidity discount that comes into play.
Liquidity discount. Sounds kind of complicated.
It's not too bad, really. Basically, because private company shares aren't as easy to buy and sell as public stocks, their valuations are usually adjusted downwards.
So they're worth a bit less because they're harder to trade.
Precisely. Think of it like this. Selling a rare comic book versus, say, shares of Apple. The Apple shares are way easier to trade, so they're going to be worth more. That ease of trading is what we call liquidity.
So, how much of a discount are we talking about here?
It can vary, but typically it's somewhere between 10% and 30%, sometimes even more.
Wow. Okay. So that's significant. So we've got these comps to compare against similar public companies. But what about looking at like past acquisitions of private company?
That's another great method. We call that precedent transactions.
So basically looking at what other similar businesses have sold for.
Exactly. It gives us real-world data on what buyers were actually willing to pay.
Interesting. So is there anything else we should know about precedent transactions?
Yeah, one key thing is something called a control premium. It means buyers often pay extra to get a controlling stake in a company.
Control premium. Why would they pay more just for like a few extra shares?
It's not just about the number of shares, it's about having the power to make decisions. Think of it like this. With control, you can steer the company in a new direction, unlock hidden value, make things happen, and that power is valuable.
So it's about more than just owning a piece of the pie. It's about having the ability to change the recipe.
Exactly. And those control premiums can be pretty hefty, sometimes 20% to 40% on top of the company's standalone value.
Wow, that's a big difference. So we've covered comps, precedent transactions. Is there another way to figure out what a private company is worth?
There is, and it involves looking ahead instead of behind. It's called discounted cash flow analysis, or DCF for short.
TCF. So we're getting out the crystal ball now.
Kind of. What we do with DCF is try to project a company's future cash flows, essentially how much money they're expected to make over, say, the next 5 to 10 years.
Okay, and the
Then we have to discount those future cash flows back to their present value.
discount them. Why do we need to do that?
Well, think about it. Would you rather have $100 today or $100 a year from now?
I mean, I'd take $100 today.
Exactly. Money today is worth more than money in the future. That's because of things like inflation and just the uncertainty of what tomorrow brings. DCF takes that into account.
So it's like saying, okay, this company might make $1 million next year, but that million isn't worth a full million today because of, the unknowns and inflation eating away at it.
You got it. But here's where things get really interesting and also potentially tricky. DCF relies on, well, predicting the future.
And as we all know, that's not exactly easy.
You're telling me, Even the best weather forecasts get it wrong sometimes. So with DCF, we have to be really careful about our assumptions and make sure we're considering different scenarios. Like, what if interest rates go up? What if a new competitor pops up?
So it's kind of like creating a choose-your-own-adventure story for the company's future, mapping out all the different paths and how they might impact those cash flows.
That's a great way to put it. And because even small mistakes in those projections can lead to big swings in the valuation, we have to be really thorough. We're talking potentially 25% or more in either direction. That's why DCF is a powerful tool, but it requires a lot of careful thought.
Gotcha. So we have comps, precedent transactions, and DCF, all giving us different angles on a private company's value. Do analysts usually pick just one method, or?
Actually, it's common to use all three methods to get a more complete picture. Imagine something called a football field chart. Literally a chart shaped like a football field.
A football field chart. Okay, I'm visualizing it. How does that help us with valuation?
Think of each yard line as representing a different valuation point. So you might have comps suggesting a value at the 30-yard line, precedent transactions at the 50, and DCF somewhere in between.
So the football field shows us a range of possible valuations, kind of like a playing field of possibilities.
Exactly. Valuing a private company isn't about finding one perfect number. It's about understanding that range and what factors are driving the differences.
That makes a lot of sense. So now we've got a clearer picture of how private companies are valued on their own. What happens when one company wants to buy another? How do they figure out what's what in that situation?
That's a great question, and it takes us into the world of mergers and acquisitions. This is where purchase price allocation, or PPA, comes in.
PPA. Sounds like we're adding another layer of complexity here.
It's definitely another piece of the puzzle. Basically, when one company buys another, they have to figure out how to allocate the purchase price across all the different assets and liabilities they're getting.
So it's kind of like itemizing a grocery bill, breaking down how much of the total cost goes to the apples, the bread, the milk, and so on.
You got it. And just like with that grocery bill, getting the allocation right is crucial for accurate financial reporting. It can affect things like taxes and how much the acquiring company can deduct as expenses.
Okay, so it's not just about slapping a price tag on the whole business and calling it a day. There's a lot more detail involved.
Absolutely. Think about buying a bakery, for example. You're not just buying the ovens and the flour. You're also buying the brand name, their secret recipes, their loyal customers. All those intangible assets that make the bakery successful.
Right, those intangibles can be super valuable. But how do you put a price tag on something like a secret recipe or a loyal customer base?
That's the challenge. Intangible assets are a huge part of many acquisitions these days, sometimes making up 30% to 50% of the total purchase price. And how those intangibles are valued can have a big impact on the acquiring company's finances.
It's not just about the physical stuff anymore. It's about the ideas, the brand, the relationships a company has built.
Exactly. And it's not just some abstract accounting exercise either. It can directly affect the acquiring company's taxes. Depending on how the purchase price is allocated, they might be able to write off certain expenses differently, which can impact their tax bill.
Wow, this is getting pretty complex. It seems like there's a whole world of financial strategy and accounting tied up in this whole valuation thing, especially when it comes to mergers and acquisitions.
Absolutely. It takes a deep understanding of accounting rules, valuation methods, and the ins and outs of the specific industry involved.
Okay, so before we get too lost in the weeds here, I think it's a good idea to take a step back and kind of recap what we've learned so far about valuing these private companies.
Sounds good.
So we've talked about those three main methods,
yeah.
Comparable company analysis, or comps for short, and that involves looking at similar public companies.
Yes.
We also have precedent transactions, where we look at, you know, past acquisitions of similar businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's discounted cash flow analysis.
Yeah, our trip to the future.
Yeah, where we try to predict those all-important cash flows.
That's right.
And we've also talked about, you know, how the purchase price is actually divvied up when one company buys another.
Yes. And that tricky thing about trying to put a value on those intangible assets, which seem to be getting more and more important these days.
Yeah. It's not always about a physical product, is it? Sometimes it's, you know, that brand loyalty or maybe all the data they've collected or some innovative process they've developed.
Exactly. It's all part of the value.
All those things are worth something.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes even more than, you know, all the physical stuff.
Absolutely. But before we even get to the point of actually figuring out that purchase price, there's a big decision to be made.
Oh, okay.
Do you buy the whole company, stocks and all?
Yeah.
Or do you just pick and choose certain assets that you want?
Hmm. So it's like buying the whole enchilada versus just picking out your favorite ingredients.
That's a great analogy. So we have a stock acquisition where you're buying everything. And that means you get all the assets, but you also get all the liabilities too. Think about buying like a vintage car. So you get that sleek design and that powerful engine, but you might also find out that there's some rust hiding under the hood or some electrical problems lurking in the
So
wires.
it's a bit of a gamble.
Yeah.
You might get a classic beauty, or you might end up with a real money pit.
Exactly. So then you have asset acquisitions where you get to be more picky. So you pick and choose which specific assets you want to buy, and you usually don't have to take on all the seller's liabilities.
That sounds a lot less risky. So why would anyone ever choose to do a stock acquisition?
Well, sometimes a stock acquisition is just simpler from a legal and administrative standpoint. And it can also be advantageous if the company you're buying has like valuable contracts or licenses that are difficult to transfer individually.
So it's really about weighing the pros and cons.
Exactly.
And I guess as a buyer, you need to figure out, how much risk you're willing to take on,
Yep.
what your goals are for the acquisition, and what the specific circumstances are.
You got it. And really, I think this whole deep dive has shown that valuing a private company isn't a one-size-fits-all kind of thing.
Yeah, there are a lot of factors at play.
Right. You have to think about liquidity discounts and control premiums and purchase price allocation and all the strategy involved in these mergers and acquisitions.
It's a lot. So for all the entrepreneurs and investors and business folks out there, what's the most important thing they should keep in mind?
Well, I think the key takeaway is that valuing a private company might be complex, but it's not some mystical process, you know?
Yeah, there's logic to it.
Exactly. And if you understand the basics, the different methods, and all the factors that go into it, you'll be able to make better decisions. Whether you're raising capital, or maybe you're thinking about buying another business, or even just trying to figure out how healthy your own company is financially.
That's great advice.
Yeah.
So for anyone listening who's looking for more in-depth advice or some guidance that's tailored to their specific business, who can they turn to?
Well, that's where market value creation comes in. You know, we specialize in helping entrepreneurs and business leaders just like you navigate this whole world of valuation and strategic decision making.
Right. So Market Value Creation offers personalized consulting.
Yes.
They can help set up those important partnerships and even connect you with the resources you need to really grow your business.
We're passionate about supporting businesses of all sizes.
Yeah. And you believe that understanding this whole valuation thing is a critical step towards, reaching your full potential as a business.
Absolutely.
Wow, we've covered so much ground today. I feel like we've gone from the basics of like how to even approach valuing a private company all the way to, the nitty-gritty details of mergers and acquisitions.
It's been quite a journey, but I think it highlights just how important it is to understand these concepts, especially if you're running a
For
business.
sure. I mean, it's empowering to know what's going on behind the scenes, right?
Absolutely. Knowledge is power, especially in the business world.
And speaking of power, that's what market value creation is all about, right? Helping businesses reach their full potential. So for our listeners who are, ready to take that next step and get some personalized guidance, tell us a bit more about the support that market value creation offers.
Sure. So we offer tailored consulting services, leveraging our expertise in, things like valuation, financial modeling, and strategic planning.
So it's not just about crunching numbers. You're really digging deep into each business and figuring out what makes them tick.
Exactly. We work closely with, entrepreneurs and business leaders to really understand their goals and their challenges. And then we help them develop strategies that'll, ultimately maximize their company's value.
So it's like a customized roadmap for success.
That's a great way to put it. And we also go beyond traditional consulting by actively, facilitating key partnerships.
Oh, that's interesting. What do you mean by that?
Well, we connect businesses with potential investors or, strategic collaborators and industry
So
experts.
you're helping them expand their network and, get access to those resources that are sometimes hard to come by.
Exactly. It's especially valuable for smaller or mid-sized businesses that might not have, those connections already in place.
Right? Those connections can be a game changer. So it sounds like market value creation is all about providing that holistic support, helping businesses connect the dots and reach their full potential.
That's our goal. We're really passionate about, supporting businesses of all sizes. And we truly believe that understanding your company's value is that crucial first step to unlocking its true potential.
Absolutely. So for our listeners out there who are, ready to take their businesses to the next level, Market Value Creation is there to guide them on that journey.
We are. We love what we do, and we're excited to, you know, help businesses thrive.
Well, this has been a fantastic deep dive into the world of private company valuation. I feel like I've learned so much.
Me too. It's always fascinating to explore these topics, you know, and see how they all connect together.
It's been a real eye-opener. A huge thank you to our listeners for joining us today. We hope you found this discussion, you know, insightful and maybe even inspiring.
We'll see you next time.
Until then, keep those entrepreneurial spirits high. And remember, understanding your company's value is the first step towards unlocking its true potential.